Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. It's great to be with you again today. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. We'll be on until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I want to welcome you to the program. And we've got some special guests in the studio today who I'll introduce in just a moment, but because of the program today, we really won't have time for phone calls today. So we won't be taking phone calls today, and we'll be getting to those next week, hopefully, as well as our Sunday night program. And again, reminder that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al as well. But I just want to jump right into this because I know we've got more to cover than we have time. And I'm joined in the studio today with two people that I've met actually going to some various things, actually dealing with national security, I guess I could say, at Act for Cleveland or Cleveland chapter. And it's Dr. Beverly Goldstein is with us and her husband, Mike Goldstein. And I want to welcome the both of you to the program today. And you're here. Beverly, you're running for Congress, the 11th district. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll get your husband in on this as well.
Well, thanks for having us in today, Pastor Al.
It's great.
It's really cool. We took a friendship to a new level. Now we're on the radio with you. Okay.
Well, I'm glad to have you.
Thanks. I'm Beverly Goldstein. I actually was born in Detroit and grew up in the city of Detroit. I attended public school in Detroit, and then I went to the university north of the university. We don't like so much around here. Michael and I met at Michigan State University. I'm an audiologist. I've actually been having this same career for over 40 years. The first 15 years of my career, I actually worked in the inner cities in two hearing clinics where I ran the clinics. It was really services mostly to minority communities in the inner city. About 10 years ago, I started joining Mike at national security meetings, and I became incredibly interested and involved with national security matters, both national, how they affect us in a regional and local level, and also internationally. Mike and I have attended tons of counterterrorism conferences in the country and other places. So I'm really coming to this campaign and this seat in Congress with an incredibly strong background on national security. And now I've become a local expert on just how bad the economic situation is in District 11. So I'm trying to marry a really important service on the local level to a very important service on the national level.
And it's a challenging thing. And we'll get into a description of what District 11 is, and because a lot of our listeners live in that district. So we'll get on that in just a moment. But let's get your husband in here. And Michael, welcome to the program today. Or Mike, welcome to the program. And introduce yourself as well a little here.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Al. Sorry. I was born in Cleveland. I grew up in Cleveland Heights, graduated from Cleveland Heights High School. And as Bev said, we met at Michigan State. I spent 4 years on active duty in the Navy and then 26 years in the active Naval Reserve, all of it in the Naval Security Group doing cryptologic work. And I retired as a lieutenant commander cryptology officer. And since then, I haven't stopped working in the area of national security. I was for many years president of the Northern Ohio chapter of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers. So that never stopped. Now, in 2005, begging and pleading for Bev to go with me, she attended a seminar on counterterrorism at the new FBI headquarters in D.C., and she became converted to national security. And I would often find her up at 2 in the morning at her computer writing and reading, and she gave talks at conferences all over the state and some of them out of the state. So she's become quite an expert on counterterrorism and national security. I am an attorney, and I do defense workers' compensation, representing employers. And also, for the past 3 or 4 years, I have become involved as a consultant with the eGeneration Foundation, which is a charitable foundation promoting the commercialization in the United States of liquid core molten salt reactor technology, which will give us energy at about half the of our cheapest source now, which is coal, but completely without any CO2 or any kind of air pollution. It's safe, it's cheap, and it was developed here in the United States at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, at our national laboratory. In the late 60s, they built a reactor. They ran it for 4 years with no problem, and then it was defunded by the federal government, classified until President Bill Clinton declassified it, and then President Obama is working to help the Chinese commercialize it. So we're trying to do it here in the United States and
in Ohio.
We have an economic development plan for Ohio, which will create about 40,000 jobs. And that is a part of Dr. Goldstein's energy plank when she goes to Congress to work on that.
All right, and thank you for that, and thank you for your service. I appreciate that.
And you for years.
Thank you. I was sort of in the Air Force equivalent of that, although not exactly the same job. Worked with people like you. So, but we had a great time in there, and I do thank you for your service. And Beverly Goldstein, thank you for your service, which you've done in the audiology field. And, you know, that's a very important thing. And that got you, you know, aware of the need in the inner city as well. And then, of course, as you've said before, you know, looking at some of the things that are facing our nation, it really got you motivated to run for Congress, because that's what I wanted to touch on here, because District 11 is an extremely diverse district. It was created a couple, what was it, about 10 years or so ago?
2012, it went into effect.
A number of other districts were split up and added in, stretching from the east side of Cleveland, I guess, all the way down to the west side of Akron. And that's kind of snakes around through Richfield, where I'm at, and the surrounding communities there in Summit County and Cuyahoga County. But it's a diverse district. And it's diverse, not in terms of just the population, but just the economic aspect of the district, very rich to very poor. And you have seen all of it, and just want to get your insight as to what motivated you to run for election and to seek this seat, and what strengths you think you can bring to this district.
Wow, the last part of your question could take a half a day to talk about, but let me start at the top. Our district in District 11 is 54% Black, and it is 9.2% Jewish. So we almost, between the Blacks and the Jews, compromise 65% of the district, almost. Well, last year, I worked, along with Michael and some other key friends in the community, to encourage and convince Congresswoman Marsha Fudge not to vote for the Iran deal, the nuclear deal that was being negotiated. And I lobbied multiple times in D.C. and with others, in addition to, we went to Portman, we went to Brown, we went to all of our elected people. We then put on a rally at Nautica. It was very expensive. We had speakers from all over the country, plus local people, come in and explain why we should not have this deal. At some point, the Jewish Federation of Cleveland, which never issues announcements or press releases, it's a very effective agency that really tries to stay out of the political stuff, issued a very lengthy one-page single-space statement asking our local representatives in Congress not to vote for the Iran deal. Now, I don't know if Marsha Fudge thought our federation in Cleveland was talking to the people in California, but they were talking to her. She voted for that deal 3 times in September. There were 3 different votes on how it came down, against 65,000 people who are her Jewish residents in her district, in my district. Well, my view about Congress is this. about 710,000 people get to send one person to Congress. We don't send that person to go there to vote against us. And it isn't a small vote. To give Iran a leash to be able in 9 or 10 years to actually, out in the open, go forward with their nuclear plans is the most bizarre thing. And she was quoted in the newspaper as saying, well, it's better than no deal at all. Well, our view was no deal is what we want.
Right.
We want America to be who America is and was. And we are going in absolutely 180 degrees from that. Anyway, so I thought people would be very interested in my national security message. The problem was, Pastor, that when I got into the inner city, and I'm going to events multiple times a week in the minority communities, people say, Mrs. Goldstein, you sound like a nice person, and it sounds like you're really worried about the country. Well, we don't care what you're talking about. We need to eat. We need housing. We need so many things here. So I began to go to meetings at the Greater Cleveland Food Bank and at domestic violence places and whatever. And what I've found, Pastor, is that nobody's pulling the whole picture together, or that I have seen, but that we're so desperate in so many areas in District 11. Our unemployment in this district is 17%. That includes Brantnall, Beechwood, Pepper Pike, Orange, Fairlawn, Bath, Richfield, Shaker. You take those 8 very wealthy communities out of the district, the 24 communities that are left, the unemployment might be 35 to 40%. I don't know. Those statistics are probably somewhere. I haven't found them yet. All I know is that Marsha Fudge has been serving for 8 years. Her office is outside of the boundaries where someone who would need to take a bus to her office could get to her office. Her office is in Warrensville Heights, 0.8 mile south of the end of the bus line. Okay, I then meet people all over the counties who say she doesn't return phone calls. Now, some important people who I meet say, oh, she always returns my phone calls. She's a great communicator. So Ms. Fudge seems to have a really great ability to communicate with people that she needs, but she is never communicating with people who need her. I don't need to go to Marsha Fudge's office. Although we have 2 cars, I could go 8 years and never go to her office. But there are people in the city with issues. They would like to be able to have their congresswoman available. When I go to Congress, my offices are going to be in the cities of Cleveland and Akron, even if they have to be tiny. And I want people to know that they can come to us and we will do what we can, refer them to somewhere else, document the problem. If you don't call hunger, hunger, you don't know you have hunger. If you don't call domestic violence, then you don't know you have it. So once you start labeling things and saying, yes, these do exist in our community, and then you start looking up the horrible statistics that show you how bad it is, you sit back in your chair and go, I didn't come on your show to be bashing Democrats, but they're in charge.
Right.
Okay. I would like to come up with, as an energy plank, as a foundation for long-range improvement, I'd like to come up with a lot of different ways of doing things than Ms. Fudge is. And you know what you have to do? The most important thing is you have to really care, and you have to really look for the problems. And then you need to say, I don't like this problem. Maybe it's a local problem or a state problem, but I'm going to be a voice in the matter. I'm going to send a staff member. Make sure my staff is going to these kinds of meetings and reporting back to our office. One of the other things I'm finding is that people who are working in the same areas, for example, I'll use emancipation of foster care children because they become instantaneously homeless on their birthday when they're 18. Well, there's some people trying to put programs together where there would be housing near schools, near work employment places. Warrensville Heights is being considered for one of these places. Well, if you never talk about it, you're never going to know you got to solve it. So I met 4 women who didn't know each other, who are all working in the same area, put them together. They're now working together. I want to do that on a much bigger scale as a congresswoman. I want to have consortiums where we know everybody's working on jobs and job training and job placement and job this and that. Who's working on reading remediation? Who's working on schools? Who, you know, there's just all these issues. If we can bring people together and have day-long discussions about, okay, this is everybody, this is what's working, this is where we have holes in the system. I also think that we've always been hearing, we can't bring the pork back to the cities and the counties. We need to stop sending money back home. Well, this may be a revolutionary thing for a Republican candidate to say, but I'm going to Washington to reduce the size of and eliminate many agencies in Washington in order to free up money to send it back to the state legislators in our states so that we can have, we work for this money. Washington doesn't work for this money. They just use it up. This is our money. It needs to come back here, not because we're doing it under the table, but because we're using less of it in Washington and allowing more of the money to come back to us to help us.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you're saying about the hands-on involvement. And, you know, I've mentioned before, I've never seen our congresswoman ever. And, you know, and I've been living in Richfield pretty much all my life, except when I was away at college and Air Force and missions work. But I've been there ever since she's been a congresswoman, certainly. But I just wanted to make mention, of course, that you're listening to Live with Pastor Al here this afternoon. And my special guest, Dr. Beverly Goldstein, who is running for Congress for the U.S. District 11, and her husband Mike Goldstein's in the studio with me today. And real quick, give your website where people can go to find out more.
Okay, thank you. It's www.beverly4congress.com.
All right. And I've got that linked as well on my website, as well as our Facebook page at livewithpastoral.com or Facebook Live with Pastor Al. You can find links to Beverly Goldstein's website, and I encourage you to check it out. You've got some excellent material on there. And we've been talking about some of the plight of the inner city. And obviously, I come from obviously opposite end of District 11, where we don't have so many of those problems, but we do have some other problems that are not just unique to the inner city. And one of those things I thought I might touch on, just in light of what the news has been covering lately, is the heroin problem. And I think some of the things that you were bringing up really relate to that. When people have no work and they don't have any hope oftentimes, or when they just have too much time. But the heroin addiction in this country, I remember hearing the state attorney general say that anywhere in the state of Ohio with one phone call, you can have heroin delivered to your door. I mean, it rivals pizza delivery anywhere in the state if you know the right number to call. And, you know, it's what is the federal government doing, and what is the current congresswoman doing really to help reduce that and to bring hope into this district and even to help in the more affluent parts of the district? You have any thoughts on that?
Michael, share our visit in Arizona in December about going to see Sheriff Babu's area.
Yeah, Sheriff Babu in
Pinal
County in Arizona. Who's also running for Congress, by the way. He's a very interesting man, but we met with his administrator. Sheriff was out when we were in Arizona in December. He was explaining how the drugs come across. The cartels have kids 11, 12 years old in caves on the border watching out for American troops, not American troops, but American law enforcement.
They said 100 caves.
Yeah, And when one of them gets caught or dies, they just replace them with another one. They felt the only way to stop the drugs coming in was to use tactics like in Afghanistan. It's mountainous. You need helicopters. Mm-hmm. You need troops. You need real work to get it stopped. So you're not going to stop it at that end because the federal government isn't providing them with the resources they need.
No, they were told to stand down.
Well, there's that too, of course. Of course. They had to stand down just as the Texas National Guard had to stand down. But that's something Bev can deal with when she gets to Congress on a federal level. She's come up with some pretty good solutions, conservative solutions to problems that the people who are in office now just can't conceive of. And one of them, very directly, was to say you're taking money from everybody in the country, bringing it to the federal government. They're giving $68 million a year to the Federal Department of Education. $22 billion of that goes to Pell Grants. If you set that aside, there's still an awful lot of money in the Federal Department of Education. Bev was speaking at a candidate forum for the early childhood development folks, and they're getting $12 an hour, which is babysitting wages, and they want to be more professional. But for all the things they want to do, like continuing ed, whatever, certification, they need more money than they're getting. And their solution that the other candidates proposed was to convince Governor Kasich and the Ohio General Assembly to increase the income tax so they would have more money for early childhood education. Those of us who've been through the change of administrations from the Democrats to the Republicans at the state level know that that's not going to happen. So Bev's solution was, well, let's just block grant the money back to the states. So instead of trying to lobby, don't give it to the Department of Education, send it home. So instead of early childhood development people trying to lobby and faceless federal bureaucrat at the DOE, instead of that, they will be able to lobby their state legislator that they have some control over because that person is accountable to them with their vote. And all of a sudden, these people realized that here was the only solution they've seen to their problem, a Republican telling them there's a conservative solution to this issue if they want to try to do it. So that's an example of the sort of solution she's talking about.
Right. And I apologize. Our time is going fast here right now. There's so much more that we could have covered. And maybe we can do this again sometime.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But we got about 3 minutes left. And I just want to mention a couple things. One of the things that's really come across, not only on the radio here today, but also when we've talked at other events where we've met, is the compassion and the concern that you have for the people in District 11. And it's not limited to just that. I mean, we're talking about District 11. That you're running for Congress for, obviously, but the concerns don't stop at the border of the district. They spread out into the surrounding districts. They spread out throughout the Cleveland and the Akron areas, throughout Northeast Ohio, throughout the entire state, and throughout the country. And just hearing the compassion and the concern that you have for these issues and Mike, you said, some of these ideas, some conservative ideas, rather than just throw money at something and then sit in an office away from it, you know, and just shovel money out. You're talking about practical things that can be done. And I think certainly this is a much more biblical position, you know, of trying to help people help themselves rather than just throw money at them. And throwing money at them hasn't really worked, has it?
Well, I kind of came up with this concept, and I don't know exactly how it could be implemented, but we should view government assistance like we view education, mm-hmm. okay? We don't wake up, become 5 years old, and go to school until we're 12, until we're 112, okay? You go to school till you're 18, you graduate, and you move on. Either college, workforce, trades, lots of opportunities. But there is an end to school. There needs to be an end game to government assistance. And there needs to be mandates during that government assistance. If you have children, they must attend an after-school program in order for you to be eligible for your check. You must show up to work in your city and the grounds right. for X number of hours a week if you're going to get a check. We need to send you to reading clinics. You need to be present at a reading clinic if you're not reading on a 10th grade level. That we could make this solved so fast, and I'm sitting around thinking, the only reason it is obviously not solved is because the people in charge don't want to solve it.
There's too much money for them by not solving it. Hey, we got about 30 seconds left. Give your website again real quick.
Okay. It's www.mynamebeverly, B-E-V-E-R-L-Y, the number 4, and the word Congress, livewithpastoral.com. You can volunteer to help on the website. You can donate on the website. Love those donations.
I appreciate that. I'll have to end right there. We're out of time. And check out our website as well. Thanks for being on with us, Beverly Goldstein, District 11. Remember that.
Thank you.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.